In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I would imagine over the last week or so, you've probably heard these words. Did you have a good Christmas? How was your Christmas? Well, I hear that like way too often. And usually it's a reference, not necessarily to, gee, did you go to church, and did you praise God? And it's more like, what did you get for Christmas? Did the relatives come over? Did anybody argue? Were there big fights? Was everybody loving each other? So my question is, are you having a bad Christmas? This is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. So to me, it's kind of a sigh of relief. Well, it's kind of that part of it's over. Some of the Christmas cheer in nowadays in this society and other societies, I guess, is kind of phony. It's like an artificial Christmas tree in the corner covering up a bad spot in the living room. It's happy holidays without the holy days. It's Christmas without the Christ or the Mass, if you want to call it that. It's jingle bells and Santa baby, but there's no baby in the manger, and certainly not one who came as our Savior. It's an artificial Christmas for artificial souls. Thankfully, that Christmas is over. At least I think it is. The radio stations will go back to playing what they normally play, and they'll get rid of all the Christmas things. And people will continue to not think about Jesus. Okay, so that little rant is over with. But for the church, the days of Christmas have just begun. And the funny thing about these days of Christmas is that they're not so much fun. If you look at the calendar, our church calendar, you'll see that immediately after Christmas, we commemorate some people that who suffered for the gospel. December 27th is set aside for the festival commemorating St. Stephen, the martyr. He was stoned to death, preaching Christ against what the Jews wanted. December 28th is the commemoration of the 20,000 martyrs of Nicomedia. And if you know what that is, you probably don't. It was 20,000 people were burned to death in their church because they didn't honor the pagan gods at the time. And the 29th, of course, is the commemoration of the 14,000 holy innocents. And it's kind of like a pleasant sounding title, but it was a gruesome event. It was the slaughter of the holy innocents and the massacre of all the babies in Bethlehem. And it's also the text for today. So right in the shadow of the Christmas tree, you got three straight festivals for people who suffered and were persecuted for the sake of Christ. Ask them if they had a good holiday. So the tinsel and the garlands make way for the cross, and that's kind of the way it is in this sin-sick world. And maybe you are feeling those same effects. Now, granted, you're not being stoned to death, you're not being exiled, or you're not being run through with a sword, but still you feel those effects of sin around you and even in our own lives. Life isn't working too well sometimes. You miss somebody who died, you're lonely, you're depressed, maybe you're ill, life's chaotic, there's visits to the hospital, mysterious, it just goes on and on and on, and you can't figure out why. So you get a coldness in your heart. There's a spot of deadness that won't quite heal. In a word, you might start thinking, well, life kind of stinks. It's not good. Money's short. Expenses keep piling up. There's no relief in sight. That's kind of the reality of the post-Christmas season. So did I hit a sore spot with anybody yet? Not meaning to, but it's possible. Everybody's got a sore spot. Everybody's got a sore spot. Sometimes you have more than one. And you ain't living, as the saying goes, you ain't living unless you're hurting one way or the other. And a Christmas tree in the living room won't make it go away. But there is a tree that will make it go away. And we all know what that is. It's the tree of the cross. A baby laid in the manger would be the child fleeing from danger when King Herod was trying to kill him. Those other kids that were killed were, you might say, caught in the crossfire, and they suffered. But the child Jesus got away, and coming back from Egypt, growing up in Nazareth, and then setting out in his public ministry, Jesus would find opposition and danger time and time again. And his hour was coming. And of course, in Jerusalem it came. He was betrayed, arrested, tried, beating, flogging, thorns, hands and nails in the feet. No one has suffered more unjustly than the man Jesus of Nazareth. Now, suffering is something Jesus knows firsthand. He's a man of sorrows, you might say, familiar with pain and hurt. In all our affliction, he was afflicted. Jesus knows what you're suffering better than anyone else, probably even better than we do. Jesus knows the depths of human misery, its causes and its effects, and he knows its cure. The permanent fix, the one with substance, it's what he came to deliver. Jesus deals with, effectively gets to the root of all of human misery and suffering. He does it by addressing, of course, the sin problem. The sin we do, the sin we do to others, the sin we do against God and his creation. This all needed to be dealt with, and Christ did that by offering his life in the comprehensive sacrifice for sin once and for all. The Son of God has delivered the sons of Adam. Sin is atoned for. Sinners are redeemed. You are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now we have a hope. But it doesn't always feel that way. It doesn't always feel pleasant being a child of God living under the cross. The pains of this planet are too plentiful around us. Think of the bombings, the killings. It's overpowering. You just don't know when it's going to stop. So what are we to do? Just sit there and moan and groan and, well, that's happened somewhere else. So thank God it's not happened to me. Today is the time to speak to hurting people and to let you know it's okay. It's even normal to hurt. But at the same time, I want to remind you that God is caring for you in all the midst of this pain. He often does this, and you should be aware of this. He often does this through people. You might answer someone else's need, or they might answer your need. So be aware of that. It'll spring on you when you least expect it. We here don't believe in an artificial Christmas with plastic smiles and superficial souls. No, Christmas is for suffering people with real sins and real hurts. If there weren't any suffering, there wouldn't be any need for Christmas. That's why Jesus came. We all know that. So, are you having a good Christmas, or did you have a bad Christmas? Amen.
Amen.